Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Maryland is bracing as the second wave of COVID-19 infections arrives. Here's Governor Hogan at a press conference Tuesday.
We have come too far, and the stakes are too high. This virus does not care if you're tired of it. It does not care if you have holiday plans. It doesn't care who you voted for. And it will not let us move on just because we all desperately want to get back to our normal pre-COVID lives.
What do rising infection rates mean for schools and families? How has the goalpost moved for school districts' plans for reopening? Joining me by Zoom is Dr. George Roberts, community superintendent for the East Zone of Baltimore County Public Schools. He's a member of the design team spearheading the county school's reopening plans. Dr. Roberts, welcome to On the Record.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
Because of the rising number of COVID-19 cases, the district's plan to open separate public day schools, these are schools for children with disabilities, next week has been postponed. If the health metrics improve, when are you aiming for other select groups of students to be back in school?
So I am very fortunate to work with and supervise and collaborate with our four public separate day schools. And you are correct. Those plans were put on hold because of the rising metrics that we've been facing, not only across the state, the nation, but certainly within Baltimore County. So what was expressed, and we shared, my colleagues and I shared with the Board of Education at our most recent meeting this past Tuesday, was really that the metrics are going to guide our reopening. So it's tough to put an exact date because we don't know when the metrics will, at the very least, start stabilizing, because all predictions that we're seeing now are that we're going to continue to see an increase over the next few weeks. But once they not just stabilize, but decrease beneath our standards as stated in our reopening plan of 15 cases per 100,000 and less than a 5% 14-day rate, that's when we then project 2 weeks out. So when we see those two metrics get to those markers, they have to maintain at those markers, or hopefully decrease, but certainly at the very least maintain, if not decrease, for the following 2 weeks. So again, tough to give an exact date at this time, but that's the time frame, and those are the metrics we're going to use in order to determine when we're going to go back to the reopening plans that are available on our public website.
So if I'm thinking this through correctly, in my own head, it would take at least a month from now before you could be comfortable, even if the metrics started to improve pretty quickly.
Well, if they started improving pretty quickly, it depends how we define pretty quickly. So when that does happen, right, based on our guidance and our input and a collaboration with the Baltimore County Department of Health, we know that we want to see those metrics stabilize or decrease from over a two-week period, because the metrics are based on a 14-day period, which does give us a more accurate assessment of the community spread across Baltimore County.
And the district at that point would be taking a phased-in approach to bringing students back.
That is correct. So what we've shared again with our Board of Education this past Tuesday is that phased-in approach. Right now at four phases, our first phase being, as you mentioned a little bit ago, our four public separate day schools. Our second phase being our preschool, and those would include our 3 and 4-year-old programs, but our preschool through second grade. Phase three being our outside general education, meaning again, continuing with our special education students and a smaller number of our career technology education high school students, primarily really focusing on our juniors and seniors who need particular very specific work and hours with specialized equipment that's only really available within our schools to meet their certification standards. And then phase four would be the remaining students in grades 3 through 12.
The school board has directed the administration to develop a plan due December 22nd for hybrid learning during the spring semester. What do you think the board is looking for in this updated plan?
So I can share that when our plan for our phase two, phase one and phase two plans are on our bcps.org website for the community to share. And what was shared with our Board of Education this past Tuesday was really what we believe to be what their ask is. We know we've had a plan that was approved by MSDE and posted on our website as of August. It was approved by the State Department of Education. What we've done is really take that next step forward in consolidating some updated information, the most current information, into what the community can see in phase one and phase two's plan. So we're going to continue that work. Our plan has always been to, we've shared a plan back in August. We've updated that plan, added some more specifics and some more details based on our current metrics and current understanding of where we are in our area in education in Baltimore County, and then really to continue that work for phase three into phase four. So our expectation is really in right alignment with the Board of Education, and that we'll be bringing forward continued plans for phase three and four based on their motion and directive from the most recent board meeting.
That's Dr. George Roberts, Community Superintendent for the East Zone of Baltimore County Public Schools. Here on The Record on WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the district's distance learning efforts and its plans to reopen schools. What has attendance been like?
So our attendance in a virtual environment is still, it's still right as at, I don't have the exact number, but I do know it's right at that MSDE requirement. It hovers around between 94 and 95% attendance. Our students are participating. Our students are engaging. And again, I go back to having the fortunate opportunity to be able to visit classrooms across my zone. And I know my two colleagues in our entire division that supports schools, including the superintendent. He's in classrooms consistently in classroom, visiting with students, visiting with teachers, as is our division and my colleagues. And we're seeing kids in class, full classes, a class of 25, you're seeing 23, 24, 25 children in the classroom. Again, it's because our teachers are putting in the work as they always have, but in this environment, particularly so, to create and continue to create the engaging lessons that our students deserve.
Parents at the school board meeting Tuesday night raised concerns about academic loss, social isolation, about students with disabilities not receiving adequate services. What is your message to parents who feel that another month of virtual learning is intolerable?
So the first thing I would say to that is similar to what I was sharing in the previous answer, is the health and safety of our children and our staff and our school communities is first and foremost. We need to make sure that we're adhering to our state and local health metrics, hence the delay that we talked about earlier with our public separate day schools. That's first and foremost. What I would say beyond that is to those other specific points that you raised is that we're here. We're here to continue to meet one-on-one with parents who have questions around academic supports. I know I personally had several conversations with parents on any one of those topics that you mentioned, whether it be IEP supports for special education students or just basic social emotional supports of our little ones, our 5, 6, 7-year-olds who are so used and just by the nature of their age, so used to being involved and with their friends and their peers, as are 17 and 18-year-olds in high school. So we ask the community to reach out to us, reach out to your principal, reach out to your school counselor, be open and honest and forthright with what you want and what's happening, and share with us what's happening with your child, because we can facilitate our resources, whether it be from our social workers, our pupil personnel workers, our school psychologists, our school counselors, a whole range of supports within our school climate office to bring to bear for a group of students, whether it be within a school or really even that one-on-one support. So that's what I would continue to encourage our community to do, specifically aiming down to a parent who has questions around those topics.
In-person learning will be voluntary. Do you have a sense of how many families are prepared to send their child into school?
So we know from our four public separate day schools right now, and we shared it with the board this past Tuesday, a quarter to a third of parents at our four public separate day schools in the aggregate said that they were going to participate in a hybrid learning environment. But again, I put that in context because those schools combined have about 400 students between all four schools, so a relatively small population relative to 115,000 students. So still, I don't know if I'd be able to draw a connect line and extrapolate out to, you know, when we're talking 25,000 students within our pre-K to two program. But right now we know with our public separate day schools, we had about 25 to 30% of those parents who initially said that they would participate in a hybrid environment. So our questionnaire, based on our conversation at this past board meeting, we will continue to move forward with providing our questionnaire to our parents and families in our preschool to grade two, phase two program. So again, it may be around that quarter to 30%, but we'll just have to wait and see what the data tells us.
Baltimore County has set aside $11.5 million in CARES Act funding to help schools prepare for reopening. Those dollars must be spent by the end of the year. How will the district work with principals to spend the CARES Act money?
We were informed, and certainly I want to first and foremost thank our county executive, Johnny O, for making this money available. A really strong partnership with our county partners, specifically our county executive and his team. So wanted to really open my response with that. But early on, about 2 weeks ago, on November 2nd, we received information from our county executive's office that this money, as you mentioned, that $11.5 million, was going to be available to purchase PPE. And as we know, this past Monday, the 9th, the county executive announced the special effort authorizing the purchase of PPE for our schools. So once we knew that money was available and working really in close partnership, our Division of Business Services and our Division of School Climate and Safety, my colleagues, Dr. Brian Scriven and Dr. Michael Zarchin, really worked hand in glove with our county partners to get the parameters, get the forms, really work to identify what specific PPE was going to be offered under this grant. So at that point, then our division, my colleagues and I worked together with our school principals to not just share that information, but also to facilitate questions that they had to really make sure that when that time comes, when students start returning in a hybrid environment, that they have the PPE and really a plentiful supply of that PPE available, not just for their students, but for their staff as well. So it's real. That's been a relatively recent development over the past week to 2 weeks, but we're excited to see what our principals will be submitting. Our principals really are going to work in collaboration with their school community to determine what they will need, submit that directly to the county government. So that information goes right back to the county government, kind of cut out the middleman so we can get those orders placed and get them into the hands of our principals as soon as possible.
I really appreciate your walking us through this. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Dr. George Roberts is community superintendent for the East Zone of Baltimore County Public Schools. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have links to the county schools' reopening plans. Quick break here on the record, and then the view from Baltimore City. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Baltimore City Public Schools are moving forward with scaled-down plans to return more students to in-person learning. The city aims to reopen 27 school buildings rather than the 44 it hoped for and usher about 1,200 students back into the classroom. Most of these schools will reopen on Monday, four reopened already. Joe Kane is chair of the Parent Community Advisory Board of Baltimore City Schools. He joins us by Zoom. Joe, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, the district in the city says the health metrics are safe enough to push ahead. Many other districts across Maryland are hitting pause or already decided to remain virtual until the spring. What do you make of the city's goal to begin reopening these schools?
Yeah, you know, in listening to Dr. Santelices and school leadership talk about a school reopening, they really emphasize the idea that parents need some type of choice because their children may not be doing well in this virtual environment. However, we see that the data is suggesting, like we've said all along, that it's still not safe to enter into these spaces with children, with teachers, et cetera. And so while we're still pushing forward as a city schools, we are hoping that the school district will look at the data and really make a decision to follow along with other jurisdictions because we know it's still not safe.
Well, tell me what data in particular makes you so sure that reopening is not smart right now.
When we look at Baltimore City Health Department, just the dashboard they have there, in short, it shows that in certain zip codes here in Baltimore, that we have increased numbers of COVID outbreaks, if you will, happening in those communities. We look at the state's dashboard. We know that the numbers are on the rise around the state. And we know that the experts and CDC, the same folks that the school district is quoting as being the leadership of making these decisions, we know that they said that during this flu season that we would see an outbreak. And so we know that all those things combined equals the environment that we have today, where we see jurisdictions like Harford County and Anne Arundel County, Baltimore County, going in a different direction to scale down their in-person opportunities for students.
What reassurances are you getting from the district?
We're getting the reassurances from the district that they're going to share more information. I know that yesterday they made a decision to scale back the 44 schools down to the 25, 27 schools that they originally had said they were going to open. That is not enough. I know parents don't need the inconsistencies, right? We need to know what to expect, and so we can plan for that as we move forward. And so what we're looking for the district to do is really be forthcoming with the data that they're using to make these decisions, because we know that entering into those spaces put a lot of people at risk. And then we know that the district is quoting that the in-school transmission rate is low among students. However, we know the students aren't there alone. They're there supported by teachers, staff, et cetera. And we want to make sure that our entire school community is safe.
Do you feel the district has been transparent in its decision making?
You know, one of the things that the district has struggled with for generations, decades, right, is this idea of transparency. And I'll be quite honest, and this is something I've shared with them, and no, transparency is not the strong point of our district. We have an opportunity to really use this COVID experience as an opportunity to build relationships in community with parents, to talk about how we can be partners in developing the plans to reopen schools or create more opportunities for families during this crisis.
What have you heard from other parents about their experiences with distance learning or the limited in-person options some students have had so far?
Yeah, and that's the kind of tricky part. The reaction from parents vary situation to situation. There are parents who do want support while in-person support for their students because, quite frankly, their students are struggling in this environment. But we're also hearing from parents who are saying, while we need those supports, we may not need them to be in a form of in-class learning, like putting them back in school, putting more people in harm's way. And so, and then there's this other set of parents who are absolutely not going to send their children to school because they acknowledge that it's not safe. And so what we're looking for, and parents are clearly saying, is that we need some supports, but they don't necessarily need to come in the form of creating the standards in-school experience.
You're a parent. What has distance learning been like for your family?
Yes, I have four children in Baltimore City Schools. A second grader who is rolling across the couch as we speak. And the thing is that it's been a roller coaster ride for them. Our second grader needs to be in school. He wants to be around his friends. He wants to see his teachers. But our 10th graders now, my Lord, our 10th graders who attend Baltimore School for the Arts, they have arts that they're trying to develop. And so not being in person makes it quite difficult. But they all acknowledge that that it's not safe. We lost my grandmother, their great-grandmother in the beginning of COVID. And so they know the realities of this virus and how hurtful it could be to watch a loved one die on Zoom.
Mm. This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Joe Kane, chair of the Parent Community Advisory Board of Baltimore City Schools, about the district's move to reopen 24 schools to select student groups beginning Monday. At the school board meeting on Tuesday, the district announced it will offer mobile testing to students and staff. Does that reassure you?
No. The thing is, we need details. Right now, the plan that they have for reopening is still in draft form. What would reassure parents and families and caregivers across the city, and even teachers that we hear from our teachers union, is that we need solid, concrete plans that are not in draft form that could really provide guidance on how this will operate. So having a plan that is in draft form and that can change at any moment does not provide the security that families and teachers are looking for during this time.
Four schools for students with special needs opened this week. Other student groups targeted for return include homeless students and English language learners. For these pupils who are not being well served by distance learning, how can it be improved?
One of the things that we know here in Baltimore is that we have a unique situation given our socioeconomic issues, our funding dilemmas here in Baltimore. We have an opportunity to really rethink how we do school. And so what's happening is instead of the district taking that approach of how can we be creative and use this opportunity to really set a standard, a national standard on how to teach in an urban environment in a crisis, what we've done is adopted national standard practices that don't fit Baltimore. And so what we could do is really take a step back, bring parents, bring stakeholders, bring teachers to the table to really go to the details around how and what it would look like to support families in a situation. We have to really get out the mindset that support means the traditional idea of in-person learning. There are other ways that we can think of community pods, right? We can think of ways to really use the community school model and take that approach into neighborhoods and provide support that way. And I'm not saying that I have all the answers, but I do think that the first step is bringing all stakeholders to the table and really discussing what our options look like to create a model that is unique to Baltimore.
I want to loop back to this. The district says it has taken steps to prevent the spread of COVID, creating socially distanced classrooms, adding air filters, providing personal protective equipment to the staff. This doesn't sound like it's enough to reassure you of the safety of sending some children back to school.
Yeah, you know, and again, that's one of the national standards I was talking about, right? So Baltimore City, that could work in a rural county where you have a yellow school buses picking up children in pods or families dropping off students. But in Baltimore, a lot of our students get to school through public transportation. And so if these pods of students are traveling to school with other pods of students across the city, they're potentially coming in contact with carriers of this virus. And that really voids the efforts that are happening in city schools to make it safe. And so we have to really think about what it means when we talk about implementing safety standards. It has to start long before a child arrives to the school, given our unique circumstances.
It looks like 24 schools or more are opening on Monday. What will you be watching for?
We'll be looking for transparency from the district. We'll be looking for understanding what is happening in those schools. What is the transmission rates like? What are teachers and staff saying, and how well the district is willing to communicate those to the general public. I still don't know what the standard is for closing a school if we have an outbreak, right? The district has to be really more forthcoming with information in real time. Given the last 9 months, it's really been a struggle really trying to piece together information in a way that is consumable for the average parent here in Baltimore City, like myself, who does not have a background in education policy, just a concerned parent who's donating, volunteering my time to really improve the systems of communication through the district and families.
Joe, I appreciate your taking time to talk to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joe Kane chairs the Parent Community Advisory Board of Baltimore City Schools. At the On the Record page, we have links to more WYPR reporting about how Baltimore City and Baltimore County are navigating the path to reopening schools, as well as links to the school district's reopening plans. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.